Good morning, church, and welcome to the service this morning. It's great to be here, and it's great to be sharing with you today. Even though it feels a little bit strange for me, there's no one really around, so if I end up looking to the left or right, I apologise, but it'll be a force of habit, but I'll try and be looking at you as much as I can. This morning we are continuing on in the letter of the Philippians. And up until this point, Paul has been pushing the Philippians to press into Christ and to live for Christ and to be like Christ. Paul has been using his own life as an example of how they should be living, and he encourages them to persevere in their faith and persevere in their sanctification, which means to become like, more like Christ. Paul's letter is written in this way mainly because the persecution and hostility that was building within the town at Philippi. And Paul wanted to encourage and build up his believers, lest they fall away. When we get to chapter 4, Paul deals with some internal conflicts that we saw last week. And then when we get to verse 4 of chapter 4, he sort of changes directions a little bit, changes lanes, and sort of gives us some real directive living advice and how we're supposed to live as Christians in a world that might be a little bit chaotic. For us today, we aren't experiencing persecution unless having no toilet paper has been like persecution for some, but not into any degree of what the church at Philippi was experiencing. But we are in the midst of a crisis. We're in the midst of a pandemic. And what I've noticed over the last couple of months is that even though these two things are very different from one another, the same feelings, the same issues are almost coming out in both. And when we look, there's a lot of fear that comes with persecution because there's fear of being harmed and death. And at the moment, that's where we're sort of getting, if we get a virus, there's a potential that we could die. There's anxiousness on both sides. There's isolation. We're not hiding from anybody, but we are sort of forced back into our homes. We're finding that we're aggravated. And there's trust issues. The Philippians may not have been able to trust the locals, but we have got trust issues as well. We don't want to touch anybody. We're not sure who's got this virus and who doesn't. And of course, there's this understanding of the unknown and what the future holds, and that would have been the feeling as well for the Philippians. So this letter is very profitable for us this morning, and it's been very profitable for us over the last few weeks. So we're going to start off at Philippians 4 and verse 4 to 9, and I'm going to read that through, and then we're going to return back verse by verse. We're going to move through in that way, as quickly as I can get through it. So let's read from verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. It's a really good passage. Now let's get into it. Verse 4, when we go back to the start of this passage, says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And the whole letter of the Philippians to the Philippians is riddled with this word joy and rejoice. And they actually stem from the same Greek word. And it's mentioned 16 times throughout the letter. So Paul is really trying to get his readers to understand that being a believer has to also come with this joy. Joy cannot be separated from a believer. They work together. Rejoice in the Greek means to be glad and full of joy. And despite their current circumstances in Philippi, Paul wants his believers to be full of joy. And if we have a look at an earlier chapter, in chapter 3 of Philippians, verse 1, Paul says, "Finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing again is no trouble for me and a safeguard for you." And Paul is sort of like, I'm going to keep saying this until you guys understand that it doesn't matter what your circumstances are, it doesn't matter what you're going through, you must have joy despite all of those things. And I'll write it again, I'm going to write it again, I'm going to write it again until it sinks in. And Paul does this throughout all his letters. And we can look at Romans 12, verse 12, and it says, "Rejoice in hope, persevering in tribulation and devoted to prayer." And 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18, "Rejoice always." He says it again, "Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for all, for you in Christ Jesus." And that passage actually sounds quite familiar to verse 6, which we'll be addressing a bit later. But believers must have joy. And the mark of a believer is joy. And it's through this connection that we have with Christ is that why we should have joy. We have something that a lot of people do not have. We have the salvation and the grace and the mercy that is given. We are secure in Christ. And because of those reasons, we always should be celebrating in joy despite the things happening around us. And that's important for us today in what we're dealing with. That this, even though there is a lot of things happening, we can have a lot of joy because we are connected to the Creator. We're connected to Christ. If we have a look at verse 5, it says, "Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near." And Paul encourages the Philippians to continue being gentle in everything they do and whoever they come across. Now, it would be tempting for them in the midst of persecution to respond in likeness. They may have been just verbally abused. It may have been they might have spat on or physically pushed and shoved. They could have even been killed from time to time. And it would be easy for them to break godly living and to just go into instinct and try and do likeness, return the favor, so to speak. But Paul is saying, no, I don't want you to do that. I want you to be continue in godly living, continue being gentle to everybody. And we have a look at chapter 1 of Philippians, verse 9 to 10. Paul actually prays for the Philippians. He says, "Continue in love and be blameless until the day of Christ." So that is why he wants you to be gentle. It's because he wants you to be blameless until the return of Christ. I was at Coles a few months ago when the pandemic really exploded. And I was walking in there. I wanted some toilet paper, like everybody else in the state. And I'm walking in there, and it's packed, and I'm shaking my head, and I'm just like, this is silly. People are silly. And I got down to the toilet aisle, and it was just gone. There was nothing. Nothing at all. And I thought, oh, that'd be right. And I sort of took a moment just to look around and just to see what was going around me. And I could see people rushing. I could see the stress on their face. And their trolleys were full. Like, food was going out of fashion. And in the midst of all of that, I got a little bit caught up. And I found myself scooting around, darting between people, almost wanting to push them out of the way and putting food that I don't even eat in my basket. And I mean, I would have pushed an old granny over to get to the last minced meat, but for luckily there was no minced meat anyway, and there was no old granny to push over. But the point is that I was so simply shifted, so quickly shifted by something as like basic as a bit of panic buying. And it makes sense why Paul is reiterating this to his audience, to the Philippians, to be gentle, because it doesn't take much for the mind to wander, the mind to change in the midst of panic. And we need to be aware of that too, because like I said, things can change really quickly. And I had to regather myself and remember that that's not how I behave. I just need to trust. I need to trust. I need to be gentle and continue in godly living. At the end of this verse, there's a little tag on the end. The Lord is near. And it's a bit of it just almost seems like a throwaway line. But Paul is often talking about the return of Christ. And the Lord is near, the Lord is coming through all his letters. And there's two reasons for that. The first one is probably that he actually believed that Christ would return in his lifetime. And he wanted his churches, his believers to be ready, to be godly living. Which would be fair enough. The other reason it could be is that Paul, obviously like us, doesn't know when the return of Christ will be, but he wanted people to live as if he was coming soon. And now we're at a place 2,000 years on from where Paul was, and we're obviously going to be a lot closer to the return of Christ. And for us, there's this need to continue in godly living. We can't get lazy and go, well, oh, he's not coming for a while. You know, we have to continually live, be gentle, full of joy, and godly living, being ready for the return of Christ. If we go to verse 6. So at this point, we've got joy. We're called to have joy. We're called to be gentle. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God. And when we look back into the previous chapters of this letter, we see that Paul has been explaining the hope and security that the Philippians have in Christ Jesus. If we look at chapter 1, it says, he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ. Shortly after that, he says, they, the Philippians, are partakers in the grace with Paul. And in chapter 3, our citizenship is in heaven. We heard a few weeks ago about that. Paul is pointing out that there is nothing to be afraid of. There is nothing to be concerned about, because you are completely and wholly connected to Christ. And the same goes for us this morning. We are partakers in the same grace. We have received that same grace through Christ. We are citizens of heaven. And he who began a good work in you will continue that until the return of Christ. So for us, there's nothing to be afraid of. There's no need to be anxious. But what Paul does is actually give an instruction. Instead of allowing anxiousness to grab a foothold in our life, he gives us an instruction to pray. But pray, not just throw up any prayer. It has to be prayer that's full of supplication. And that means to actually humble yourself. It means to petition. It means to come with nothing, almost to beg. And when a beggar comes before someone asking for food, they don't have anything to give back. They're completely, they have no arrogance. They have no pride. They come with nothing and ask. And that's the way that we should approach God through our prayers, where we come with nothing. We have nothing to offer God. We come in need. And while we're doing that, we also have to bring thanksgiving. We have so much in this country, in this state. We are so blessed, and we need to actually bring thanksgiving in for everything that God gives us, and especially the salvation that we find through Christ. We're going to come before the throne honestly. And what happens when we do that? Verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So the peace of God transcends all understanding. It's beyond a man's ability to comprehend. We can't understand it. I can't explain it to you. You can only really experience it. But when it happens, the peace guards your heart. And so you have this word that Paul uses, guard. It's a military term. It means basically like a soldier would stand there and guard a section. So the peace of God will guard your heart from the things like anxiousness and stress and fear. So it doesn't mean those things will go away, but God will actually protect you, protect your heart, protect your mind and your soul, so those things don't actually affect you like they did before. They don't have control of you like they did before. What an amazing gift that we have, that we can receive that peace as believers in troubling and difficult times that we're facing. If we have a look at verse 8, Paul is going to finish up. He says, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Paul closes, he's closing off with this list of things that we need to dwell upon. So, and what's so significant about just dwelling on these things? Well, they are the things of God. Whatever is true, we don't want false things, we want true things. But all of these things are from the things of God. But there's two reasons why Paul brings it up. And the first one is that if we look back in chapter 2 of Philippians, verse 2, we see that Paul's desire for the church is that they have the same mind. Paul says, "Make my joy complete by being of same mind, maintaining same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose." If everyone's mind is full of the things of God, these whatever statements that we've just gone through, the church will be of same mind. It'll be focused on the things of God. It will focus on the same love. It will be united in the same spirit, and every believer will be intent on the one purpose, which is to follow Christ. That is why Paul wants his readers to focus on these things. It doesn't mean that our character or our personality changes. They're all things that are God-given. It's just simply that we focus on the same things together as believers. And then we can actually be consistent as well as we're out in the community. The non-believers would see the consistency that we are all the same. Because we've all been dwelling on the same things. The second reason why Paul brings this up is that Paul is always wanting his believers to be renewing their mind. If we look at Romans 12 verse 2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." So Paul's desire is that as believers, we're continually renewing our mind towards godly living. And where we know that if you put rubbish into your mind, eventually you get rubbish out. It comes out in daily living. It's like if you eat junk food all the time, we already know that that's no good for you. Eventually, your body can't handle it, doesn't like it. So he's saying, don't be conformed to the worldly things, but be transformed with the godly things. Get these godly things in your mind. And if you're continually washing, almost washing the Word of God through your mind, those things actually come out in daily living. It's not even difficult anymore because your mind is full of the godly things, and then they come out in living. In everywhere that you go and everything that you do, you'll always be living a godly life. A renewing the mind. Being of same mind. And in the midst of persecution or a pandemic like we're facing, our minds need to be fixed on godly things. So as we finish, Paul has been through, he wants his believers to be full of joy no matter what. He wants us to be gentle no matter what the circumstance. Don't be anxious. No reason to be anxious. But he gives us a way to find peace through prayer and to dwell on these godly matters no matter what. And he says at the end of verse 9, and the God of peace will be with you. And that is my prayer this morning, that the God of peace will be with you. That's an amazing thing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the church at Philippi, and we thank you for Paul's letter. And it's just amazing truth that he brings through this letter, and we just thank you that we're able to just to read it, to be challenged by it, to be changed by it. And we just ask that you will continue to help us to always be joyful, always be gentle, always to not be anxious, but to trust you, and that we would always be thinking of godly things, renewing our mind and focus on you, to be of one and same mind. And we just thank you so much for who you are. We just pray all these